the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. As the final teams come into the FA Vars, we celebrate round two, and at FA Vars, Fact Bar Philonets offers insight and stats into the 64 ties taking place this weekend. One of the all-step six ties features a club who only formed in 2017 but have already begun their climb up the pyramid and enter the Vars this year at this round due to last year's progress to round four. It's not often you get to speak to a manager who's been the only one in the history of the club. But Johnny Payne is just that, and an ex-player of the former club in the village and rightly proud of the team at Hawarden Community Welfare and all that are involved there. With the week's news, it's executive editor at the Non-League paper, John Couch. There's FA Cup, FA Vars, and much more besides featuring in this weekend's Non-League paper. Plenty to come, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So the cup competition of the weekend is the FA Vars. It's round two of the competition, and the final 26 clubs with exemptions entered the competition, joining the other 102 who made it through from the first round. Stats and facts, there's plenty more, so let's welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Vars Back Farm, Mr. Phil Annette. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Good to be back again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I mentioned those 128 clubs, 64 ties, and one of those exempted until this round is last year's beaten finalists.
That's right, yes. Newport Pagnell Town obviously made the final last year after winning the Vars the season before. And they, along with every other club that's went beyond the fourth round and beyond last season, are exempted to this round if they are still at step five or step six, of course. And this is the last round where those exemptions count. So from here on in, it's a straight knockout for everyone else who's left in the competition.
Yeah, we know who's going to win the FA Vars now, don't we? Well, it's going to be one of these 128 clubs.
Indeed, but your guess is as good as mine as to which one of them it actually will be, given the history of the tournament. Throws up surprises every single season.
Yeah, but
so it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
We mentioned Newport Pagnell Town there, but of course, I think there's two other winners as well. Newport Pagnell Town, of course, won in 22 and then runners-up last year, but two other former winners competing in this round too.
Yeah, we do. We still have Deal Town. They're still involved, and they head along the south coast to New Haven, whilst Wickham FC, who won the Vars 40-odd years ago, they host Bury FC, and depending on your point of view, it's their first ever FA Vars campaign, even though they've been exempted to this round based on the performance of Bury AFC from last year.
Exactly. And only we rely on you, Phil, to keep an eye on these sort of things. Exemptions in their debut competition is probably, I'm not sure it's been done before in a National Cup competition. We've also got, you know, if we count Bury FC as a debutant, some other debutants still in the competition as well.
Yeah, it's good to see that those first-timer clubs are still going strong and performing very well. There's Stanway Pegasus. I think they're one of the top scorers in the competition this season. They host Barkingside. And then another tie is Nail C and Tickenham, who entertain Hartlepool University, who themselves were debut club just last season. The other two games that involve those clubs that are on the debut campaigns, actually the result of the match will end up with the winner making it to the next round for the very first time. Mm. Obviously, the debut club would be that club if they did do that. But Stockport Georgians host Bishop Auckland, who have only ever gone as far as the second round in the past in this competition. Quite surprising for some, yeah, when you think about their history in the Amateur Cup and how many times they won the FA Amateur Cup back in the 50s and so. And then there's Hanworthy Recreation in their debut campaign, and they travel to Fairford Town, who have made the second round in the past but yet to go further.
And with FA Cup entry so limited now, the FA Vars really is the Premier Cup competition for clubs at steps five and step six. And it is nice to see that. I think of those 128 clubs, 26 left in it are still from step six?
Yes, so step six clubs who now don't get a chance to play in the FA Cup. This is their only national competition, isn't it? And yeah, there are 26 clubs still involved. And We do have four ties, which guarantees that there will still be step six involvement in the next round. And the Stanway Pegasus, the Barking side, is one of those ties. I think there's an Asheville host, Holker Old Boys. Mm-hmm. You've got Horden Community Welfare taking on South Liverpool, and Newcastle University against Atherton, Laburnum and Rovers. Hopefully I've said all those names right.
It's always throws up some fresh names, despite this competition going in every year. That I think every year I do a little bit of delving into one of those names and one of those clubs and the history behind them. And you know, every day's a learning day with the FA Vars.
Yeah, well, there's so many clubs around at Step 5, Step 6. And obviously a lot of clubs knocking on the door from Step 7, hoping to be involved this time next year. So, yeah, there's always brand new clubs coming into the competition who you then have to check out who they are, where they come from, what does the name mean, all the rest of it.
And one of the great things about your fact, Farville, is that we always know there's plenty of clubs on their best ever runs in the competition already, and many more that are going to equal or better that this weekend and every round that comes around. There's always these great link-ups and great friendships created as clubs from different leagues face each other for the first time and play against clubs in another league for the first time. But I think this time around, I think there's four ties that we've seen before with the clubs facing each other previously in the FA Vars competition.
Yeah, and it's only four out of 64, so it's a very low percentage, and so it means it's fantastic that there's a lot of clubs who will face opponents they've never met in a competition before, maybe never met in any competition before. But yes, you've got, I think, Amersham and Hilltop face each other after coming together last season when Hilltop were convincing 4-0 winners. The other games that we'll see clubs facing each other again, you've got Seaham, Red Star, who beat Earlham 1-0 just 3 years ago. Buckland Athletic beat AFC St Austell by that same scoreline the year before that. But there's one tie where they've met twice before in the competition, and that goes back to Newport Pagnell Town, who go to Fakenham Town, and that's happened just twice before, but with Newport Pagnell Town winners each time. So Fakenham will be looking to try and make it third time lucky.
Stats can play a great deal in the psychology ahead of these games. I'm looking for 128 clubs always is going to throw up some interesting ones. Ties of the round, Phil. I think I'm drawn to two recent semi-finalists facing each other in Congleton Town and Loughborough Students.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? They both had their best run to the semi-finals in the last couple of years. Congleton last year, the first time they've made it that far, and the season before, Loughborough Students made the semi-final for the first time. So both of them got recent excellent Vars pedigree. Loughborough Students this year had to start in the first qualifying round, whereas Congleton are just coming in because of their exploits last season at this round. But in just three games, the Students have managed to score 17 goals already. So that's a lot of goals to put away in just three games. So it'll be a tough task for Congleton to get another good Vars run, but I would expect that to be a very good game indeed.
Yeah, and derbies, it's always an expression, isn't it? It's up for discussion. Does it mean near neighbours, or can it just mean a link between the two? In which case, it's perhaps a little unkind to call this one the toilet derby. I think you branded it the WC derby.
Yeah, I was trying to be a bit more civil about it. I didn't really want to say that one of the two sides might lose. But, yeah, it's Wolverhampton Casuals taking on Worcester City. So it is the only ties around where the two clubs do have the same initials, and it just so happens that their initials stand for something else as well.
I'm sure that one of them will be flushed with success come the end of the day. Wordplay always your favourite, my favourite, and always play a key feature in your previews. And it's also this round, time for tea.
Time for tea, yes. Yes, this is quite a surprising stat. I know I'm bringing up these kind of stats as much as I can during the reviews of the round or the previews. But for Tring Athletic, they will be travelling to Tilbury in what is their 57th, 58th FA Vars game, and they've never played a team that also begins with the letter T, which I thought on its own was quite remarkable until you then look at their predecessor club, Tring Town, who they themselves never faced anyone in the competition beginning of the same letter T. So that makes it 124 times that the Tring clubs have played, and this will be the first time they've faced an opponent who just happens to begin with the same letter, the alphabet, as their club does.
And when I read that fact, I then sort of trawling my memory, as I'm sure I've been in the boardroom at one of the Tring clubs and had a cup of tea. Because I'm just thinking, are they keeping all those teas for themselves? Is that what they're trying to do? I mean, the chances, the probability, there's someone far better qualified to work that one out as to that fact coming to the fore, but it is another a great one, and why we love your previews, Phil. There is plenty of action across this weekend as well, because we've got a Saturday kickoff at 12:45, the Holyport and Jersey Bulls game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a 2 p.m. as well, haven't we? Holmesdale, Haywards, Heath Town.
Yeah.
Plenty on the 3 p.m. Saturday slot, and then a couple on Sunday too. It's plenty of history to be made.
Yeah, so one of those Sunday games, May and Baker Eastbrook Community against White Ensign. The winner of that tie will meet in the third round of the Vars for the very first time. So definitely all to play for in that Sunday match.
Yeah, so just history made time and time again this weekend. Plenty of stats there that we've already talked about. Any in particular that we might have missed, Phil, that you think we should be aware of ahead of these 64 games that are going to attract plenty of attention in their local area?
Yeah, well, there's just a couple of other sides where it's guaranteed that clubs will be in the third round for the very first time. Wells City host Portland United, and Lothi host Punjab United from Gravesend. So in both those ties, we'll see a club in the third round for the first time ever. And we've still got three of the FA Vars 50 clubs. Wow. Standing on their track to maybe get into Wembley this season for the first time, or second time in the case of Tunbridge Wells, who go to Holbridge Sports. Tunbridge Wells are going to Lingfield, apologies. And then we've got Saffron Walden, who actually host Holbridge Sports. And finally, we've got Brockenhurst, who go down to Clevedon. So it would be quite apt, perhaps, if one of those three clubs did make it all the way to the final in this 50th anniversary year.
It would indeed, it would indeed. And Phil, I know you've started putting together stats on each of these ties as well. Where can people pick up on your stats and facts and follow you on social media?
Yes, so I have pulled together top line facts and stats for all 64 FA Vars ties that are happening this weekend, and you can find those on my Twitter account at FA Vars Fact File.
Phil Annette, always a pleasure to have you on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Look forward to that.
So let's stick with the FA Vars, and as Phil Annette mentioned, there are a number of all Step 6 ties guarantee a club from that level of the game into the third round of the FA Vars. So that's where we turn to next, to a club with a short history, but one of those stories I'm sure the Hollywood directors would salivate over if they knew more. So who best to help tell it and give us some insight into the preparations for the FA Vars match this week? Manager at Hawarden Community Welfare, Johnny Payne. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Johnny.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to get you on. First then, the story, Hawarden Community Welfare, formed only in 2017, the same year the old club Hawarden Colliery Welfare folded, and you've played a part in both of them.
Yeah. I did indeed, yeah. I've been at the club for a while, previously owned by the previous chairman was Norman Stephen. There was a bit of a long saga regarding the parish council, but what happened is the law case ended up that the team had to leave the ground, and basically it moved on to be another club, which is currently playing out the Wearside League now team. Darlington Town, I believe. And I think they still have the Hawarden affiliation, so yeah, it was a case of a couple of the old players, Chris Kane, wanted to sort of start a team back up. I was currently a player for Hawarden at the time. I think I was around 35 when when I spoke to Chris, and he says, "Oh, look, we're looking for somebody to sort of take over as manager for this for next season. Would you be interested?" Now, you know, I was at the point in my career where I thought, "Well, you know, I'm 35. I'm not getting any younger." So I mulled on the decision. He gave us a week, and I decided to take the job on. And I've been there for the last 7 seasons now.
So, we'll come to that a bit later. I mean, yeah, that's long serving as any manager, but as you say, that last team effectively sort of rolled off to another club, sort of as like reserve section. You're in a very, very strong football area. I mean, the North East has got probably an unrivaled record, certainly in the FA Vars. So creating a new club among so many long-standing clubs, that's a brave decision in any event. You seem to have all pulled it off so well.
Yeah, I think it's to be honest, the people who are involved in the club are all very football minded. We've all got the same sort of direction as to what we want. You know, community based team club. You know, it's run by the right people for the right reasons. You know, we're all in it for the football. And obviously the growth of the club, the community sort of where we play out of is very the team's very well supported by the locals, and yeah, we tend to get a good fan base, and you know, it's just good days. You know, the Vars, we had a really good run last season, and like the fans seem to love it, you know, and it was really good for the club as well, because we don't have a lot of money, you know, and it's all sort of what we generate week by week, is what we can afford to spend, you know. So stuff like the Vars is massive for us.
And you're clearly passionate about the club. I mean, there can't be too many clubs where there hasn't been a change of management since their formation.
I think I'm fortunate in a way. I've got a good coaching team with me. The assistant is very very passionate about the club as well. You know, he puts a lot of hours into doing the role as well. So, and we work well together. As have the previous lads who've been involved. You know, I've had a couple of people work with us in the past. I couldn't fully commit when we moved into the Northern League, but she did a good job as well. So, but lucky in a way, I think when you walk through the doors, you know, you get that you instantly get that family feeling. I think it's the same in the dressing room. You know, the lads are very, very close with each other. You know, there's no, we do everything together. There's no individuals or cliques or anything like that. It's literally just sort of one, you know, one team from the committee to the management to the players. You know, and even so much as the fans. You know, everybody sort of tends to know everyone, and it's very close knit. I think that's why. We probably haven't changed manager. I mean, it's times where I've felt like sort of stepping down, you know, through stress and whatnot. But no, I absolutely love it, and I look forward to every game, and you know, just being better. And this year, you know, it's going to be tough for us to get promotion, but I'm sure we'll be in amongst it, and hopefully we go one better than we did last season. To miss out on 3 points, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because you know, when you first took on the role there, you began in what, the Durham Alliance. Then you had that the COVID spell where I think you were top, weren't you, in that first null and void season, and then you were second in that second halted season.
Yeah.
But it did mean that in May 2021, when there was all that reallocation, you were promoted to the Northern League. You're currently fifth in Division Two there. FA Vars run or promotion to the main? Is that the main aim of the season?
I think our sort of aims never change. We aim to win every game we play. You know, I never look at fixtures. I never look what we've got next week. I couldn't tell you who we've got after the Vars, to be honest. So it's literally game after game. We never sleep on anybody. You know, we never sort of look past any team. You know, I think every team's capable of getting 3 points on the day, or you know, or potentially going on a good cup run. You know, I mean, no one would have thought we went as far as we did last season in the Vars. You know, when The likes of, I think we were the last sort of team in from the Northern League, you know, pretty early. And it was like, I honestly couldn't believe that that was the case, because I think Division One teams were exceptionally strong last season as well. So I think this year it'll be, obviously it'll be tough to replicate what we did last season, because you know, there's still some strong teams left in, and I believe that teams have got better as well. But you know, FA Vaz Day, it's good that I think the lads get up for it. Obviously, it's Remembrance Sunday as well. So we're gonna, you know, we've got something planned for the game and whatnot. So you know, that always sort of, that always gets us a little bit hyped, things like that. You know, we try to make an event of days like this, you know, try and make it a big deal for the people in and around who support us, you know. So
you've got exemption. You're coming into the competition at this round because of that success and getting to the fourth round last term. And the FA Vaz, it gives you a chance to test your levels against others in the pyramid. And this weekend you've got South Liverpool at home with the North West Counties Division One North. I mean, how much opportunity do you have to get intelligence on them ahead of this game?
In the past, last season, we actually travelled down. I don't know, a few of the teams, you know, who we drew. You know, we got down to watch Darwin last season. Mm-hmm. We got down to watch Barnsley as well. So we had a little bit of info. But I think this season it's pretty much a case. When we went, it didn't prove any value for us. You know, it was, I think the teams changed it. And you know yourself at this level. I mean, lads get injuries. Yep. Lads are working. You know, sometimes I think, you know, the money might take priority over, you know, sometimes over Saturday football. Not so much the vases and whatnot, but yeah. So yeah, you can build a little bit of intelligence on teams, but ultimately I think it's what happens on the day. Yeah. You know, nine times out of ten, if you perform, you'll come away with a result. You know, but I think you need a little bit of luck, and I think we rode that last season in the vases, especially away to Barnsley. You know, we came good towards the back end of the game, and I think that was probably the most enjoyable win.
And
hopefully we'll go and do it again.
I look at your league start so far, and their league start pretty similar. I think what were they played 18, 33 points. They're only outside the playoffs because of goal difference there. It looks like it's going to be a great game in prospect. And do you know much about their manager? Because I see their manager, Martin Ryman, I think he's done over 1,000 games in the dugout there at South Liverpool since 2001. So it could be a real battle of wits. Yeah, maybe the two longest service managers that footballers see this weekend.
I'll enjoy having a drink with them and you know, talking about the stresses of Northern League and certainly their league. But you know, management. But no, it's good to see. Do you know what it is? I actually like things like that. And as a player, obviously, you know, you look at other teams in the past, and you just think, you know, you don't tend to have that respect when you're playing for other managers. But as a manager now, I sort of take in what other people must go through and whatnot. You know, because everyone has, you know, it's not an easy job, this management. And you know, and certainly I've felt the time and time again pressure and whatnot. But I absolutely love it. I think that's what keeps me going. You know, just the thought of progression and taking the club that one step further. So that's my dream, to get to the first division. So. Yeah.
You sort of intimated to it earlier there. We talk week in, week out about how the game's changed, certainly in the last decade or so. And I feel more for managers at your level than maybe others, because you're often working with the most limited of resources, and you've probably got more external forces, shall we say, that are going to affect you. Earlier on in this season, talking in the FA Vaz, we spoke to the Homer Green chairman, and he'd lost a third of his team for that game to the Reading Festival. What's the most unusual request that maybe you face for selection?
For selection, you know, I think I've been quite lucky on this because every one of my lads is pretty much the, you know, the dressing room polices itself. Yeah. You know, we have fine systems in place. You know, for, and the fine systems, like, it's absolutely ruthless. You know, the lads sort of the way they deal with each other and stuff like that, and they all buy into it. So I think I've been quite fortunate in the way that I haven't had to deal with any, like, sort of poor excuses, you know. Not that I can think, you know. There's, I honestly, I can't sort of recall anyone having bad excuses. You know, you obviously you get the odd girlfriend weekend away, which, you know, that sometimes the lads can't do a lot about, you know. But other than that, no, you know, I'm quite fortunate in a way that I am. You know, I've got 18 to 19 to choose from every week, you know, and that gets stressful having to leave a few out. Yeah. You know, I think that's the worst part of it for me.
Yeah. There's obviously a great deal of respect across the whole of the dressing room, and I open by saying that you really are at the heart of the whole of the Horden CWFC story, and long may that continue. But
yeah.
Could you ever see yourself being tempted away to manage elsewhere? You know, I know John Askew signed a new 3-year contract not too long ago at Hartlepool United, but you know, if yeah. they came a knocking, would you be up for a talk?
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, I think everybody knows that it's you know, this was me hobby. This is me passion. You know, and I think at the time come where I needed to sort of step away from home, it would be for the best, for the good of the club, you know. It would, and I would still like to think I would have some involvement still with it, you know. So I've got no interest of managing higher, etc. I just think, I just enjoy what I enjoy the club. I enjoy being around the chairman, the committee, the players. You know, it's. Obviously, the hardest thing is when, you know, when players do come and go, and it might not be for reasons that, you know, it might be for reasons that are out of my control. You know, I've got some good players that I know can play higher, and I like to see that. I encourage it. You know, nothing's personal in football. And I always say that you enjoy your experiences while you still can, and you know, and that's why it's important to sort of. To leave everything out there because you never know where your next move's going to be, you know.
I think it's interesting you say that about leaving everything out there. Regular listeners to the show will probably disagree with me, but I do like to do a little bit of research and sort of asking around. And I was told as a player, you were very combative. You know, you wore your heart on the sleeve and you were no stranger to the odd red card. How's that worked as a manager?
Well, it's completely the other way, to be honest. I'm probably the most laid back in a dugout. It's that white line fever, you know. If I probably had to step on the pitch, I'd be a different person. But because I'm on the other side of the white line, I just stay calm. I think at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to set an example to your players as well as, you know, as well as the people who are watching. You know, there's people like, I think my mum's pretty much at every game as well, so... Yeah.
Are you a proper grown-up now, then? Is that what you're saying?
Still a grown-up, but I tell you what, I've never sworn to my parents, you know. I'm a type of lad, I have respect for them. And for my elders, you know, and I think it's, you know, that's the type of lad I am. But when I play football, it's a different matter. It's, you know, just I'm just super competitive when I play, you know, any sport, really, but... No, I was I'd like to think I wasn't. I mean, I was strong. Yeah, sometimes did the odd naughty tackle, but never to hurt anybody. Yeah. You know, it was just part of the game, isn't it? A big thing, part of the game.
The passion's what we love. The passion is clear from Horden CWFC, and long may it continue. Hopefully through Saturday's result and further on in the FA Vars. Johnny Payne, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
So it's that time of the week once again to head on over to non-league paper towers to welcome back to the non-league football show executive editor at the non-league paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. I missed a game of football last week, but late postponement. Not my fault, despite everybody telling me it was. But it was an exciting weekend anyway, because not having my own game to watch, it meant that I could take in more of the FA Cup. And when that draw was made, you and I were both very excited about the first round proper, and it didn't disappoint, did it?
No, it certainly didn't. It was fantastic, really. It was just a little bit disappointing and frustrating, really, that there wasn't more on the telly. I think just the way it was, why it came out, obviously, and the TV deals are slightly different this year. You know, certainly the games that were on didn't disappoint. Bromley, they had a very tough draw, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Home to Blackpool on a Saturday night. Sadly, that was the end of the line for them, going down 2-0. But Sunday was fantastic. I mean, obviously, sort of going back to the Saturday, you know, we had Aldershot, of course, who weren't on telly, but what a result they produced at Swindon. Ramsgate, again, another great story, beating Woking and getting to the second round. And so then we got to Sunday, and Cray Valley. What a performance! What a performance from Cray Valley, going to just down the road at Charlton, come away with a 1-1 and a lucrative replay on the telly again next week. That's tremendous. And then Chesterfield as well, beating Portsmouth, the highest ranked team in the division. And then, of course, Friday night.
Yeah,
Friday night. But
Horsham, again, you mentioned, you know, we had some great TV from those first round games, and then we've now got the FA Cup replays. And I think there were those victories, as you mentioned, Chesterfield, Aldershot Town, some really massive games that will go down in their history for many, many years to come. But there were also those that did so much to keep the advocacy of the FA Cup replay alive. I think that's the best way of saying it. The Friday night heroics from Horsham at Barnsley, they mean that they've got TV coverage for their replay next week. As you mentioned, the Sunday tea time stubbornness from Cray Valley paper mills meant they've got more TV time for their replay against Charlton Athletic. And with those replays being on TV, you then feel sorry for the likes of Slough Town, Scarborough Athletic. Both Chester and York City have got a play out because they haven't got their TV spotlight for this first round replays. And all of those are set to be cracking ties as well.
That's right. I mean, I do feel for those clubs. I really do. But I think, obviously, to get that TV tie, it's got to be something. It's got to be worthwhile. And you've got a TV audience there, not just with on the Cray Valley stroke, Charlton, South East London area. But all over the country, I mean, it's glamour tie. It's what the FA Cup is all about. And as you said about the replays, it's the perfect advocate for, you know, why FA Cup replays should stay on our calendar. Mm. We've got a story going in this week. We've got some fantastic quotes from the Hersham boss, Dom De Paola, and also, we were speaking to Cray Valley as well about sort of just what replays mean for their particular clubs and like the non-league game in football in general. It's without those replays, say if they finished a penalty shootout, it would just be a complete damp script for me. And whereas the League One or Two teams could probably do without it, for non-league clubs, it's imperative. And hopefully we can get some big audiences, and the non-league boys can continue to fly the flag, and we could be having the same conversation again in the second round. Yeah. Which would be great. I mean, it's a fantastic draw for the second round, and so more crunch ties. And it's really all about now, trying to find a way of getting through that second round by hook or by crook and finding your way into the third round where the big boys are.
Yeah, and it, sometimes justice is done, isn't it? It's just like quirk of fate seems to play a hand, and a lot of spirit as well. But Horsham, we've spoken a lot in the last couple of weeks about the Horsham game being moved to a Friday night, and you know, so many of the, particularly the young fans and diehard fans, just couldn't make it up to see that first game on a Friday evening because it was a Friday evening so far away. Now they've got the opportunity to just go down the road and go and watch it at their own ground and make those own magical moments. And you know, as we said, that's where non-league fans are made sometimes. It almost crystallises you as a non-league fan.
That's right. I mean, all eyes are on Horsham, aren't they? On Friday, it was a wretched decision, wasn't it, to switch on onto the Friday night. It really wasn't ideal for anyone, and you know, obviously the club had their say, but ultimately the fans never really did, and you know, but to get the amount of fans down to Oakville as they did was great. They were massive underdogs against one of the highest ranked teams in the competition, Barnsley going for promotion to the Championship. But what a fight they put up! It was incredible. They were well worthy of that. Of that draw, and really, it was a little bit of a dig back, I think, at the authorities, whoever they may be, probably police. I think the police that were in attendance at Oakwell on Friday night certainly got their ears bitten off a little bit at times by the fans who did make you. I'm sure all in there. All in jest, but no, they were. If it was any team that were worth a second crack at a whip, it was Horsham, and good luck to them next week. But it'll be, well, obviously if they can win, fantastic. But you know, I think they've already made their mark, and they're flying the flag for non-league football in a tremendous way.
Yeah, and as you said, you mentioned some of those second round ties that we already know about before even these replays are played. And you know, the TV selections are often criticised, but who'd want to choose out of ties like Maidstone United, Barrow, Chesterfield against Leighton Orient, Aldershot against Stockport County, Alfreton against Walsall, or Eastleigh against Reading, even Newport County against Barnet? There's so many potential cup sets, massive games, that if you're a TV scheduler, I think you'd want all of those on, wouldn't you? And more.
Yeah, they can certainly pick any one of seven or eight ties there, and I'd be more than happy with their selection. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to. I'm sure there's logistical problems, or logistical benefits that may sway their decision either way. There's some crackers in there. Eastleigh, Reading, I like that. Yeah. I like the look of that. That looks that's a real cracking tie, and one that Reading won't fancy at all. Sadly, the way that things are going on down there, and Aldershot Stockport, that's another one. You know, having scored seven at Swindon, they've now come up against League Two leaders, absolutely flying at the moment. So, but the confidence that Aldershot would have get from that they and being back at home, nice big crowd at the EBB Stadium, they'll fancy that as well. And Alfreton Walsall's another good one as well. Alfreton are going really, really well in National League North, and you know, it'll be really good to get the cameras down there against the Walsall side, who we've already seen just about managed to. See off Sheppey United, and now they've got another non-league tie. But Alfreton were really fancied out as well at the time. They're a difficult team to play at the best of times under Billy Heath. They got their own style, and they're very, very difficult to play against. And at the moment, it's really working well for them. So yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah, all very exciting, as is this weekend, of course, because we've got the FA Vars action. We've got the this weekend, it's the final clubs that, with any exemptions, all joining the competition. So we know that this year's winners will be one of the 128 clubs lining up in the 64 ties this weekend.
That's right, yes. Yes, another round, another 128 teams have exited, and all of a sudden we're in the second round, and it's starting to really hot up, isn't it? I think Newport Pagnell with it are back in the hat again this time. Obviously they won it a year before last, got to the final last season, and they're back in there again. They'll fancy another run, but there's plenty of teams that will fancy it too. I spoke to my old pals down at Farnham Town, who are having an absolute stormer of a season in the combined counties league. They're still 100%ers, and they're even though the manager is banging on about bread and butter being the league, and you know, I think deep down they all know that he kind of indicated that the Vars was just as important to the players who really relishing a decent run, and dreaming of that trip to Wembley, and that'll be the same as country sort of clubs up and down the country who will be eyeing a good run. And as I say, you know, that dream trip, you know, that very small chance that it could be their year, and living out childhood dreams. That's what it's all about, and that's what makes the Vars so appealing.
Indeed. But, you know, while some are concentrating on their cup exploits, as you mentioned there, you know, the league in many fans' mind, in many managers' mind, certainly in many chairmen's minds, is the main attention. And this weekend, the main attention for those in the National League, and I'm sure all at Non-League Towers will be keeping an attentive eye in the National League on Chesterfield against Barnet this weekend.
Yeah, that's our big game. Chesterfield against Barnet. Obviously, that's the top two. Chesterfield just looking great form, don't they? But Barnet, although they had a little bit of a stutter sort of two or three weeks ago, they've now found form again, and they're just at a period at the moment where they're grinding out results. They're just finding ways of picking up points here and there, and that's what they need to do at Chesterfield on Saturday. Chesterfield will arguably start as favourites. They've just beaten Portsmouth. They're looking pretty imperious, but as I say, Barnet will not be easy opponents for him. Nicky Kabamba up front, he's banging form, and Callum Stead as well. He's been picking up some valuable goals recently. So, Barnet will be a big, big test for Paul Cook's men. But as I say, that's a real crunch clash. And, obviously it's early days to be talking about 6-pointers or anything. But I think psychologically, if Chesterfield can get through Barnet, they will feel that's a hurdle. That's a hurdle that they need to trying to sort of really get into that second half of the season and, really make their mark.
Yeah, and as you said, it's plenty of games still to come in this 46-game season, and I'm sure many twists and turns as well. But it is interesting to see that the drop zone to the playoff zone in the National League is just 11 points apart at the moment. So anybody even that's had a bad start to the season could still quite easily make those playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. It's so close. I think we said a couple of weeks ago that there's really no whipping boys in the National League this year. It's full of very, very good teams who on their day can beat anyone. We mentioned Fylde. I think the last time we spoke, Fylde were bottom of the league, and then they went to go and beat Gates said 4-0 away from home, and that just goes to show how strong that league is. And Kidderminster Harriers have been have been on a good little run themselves. They've just been unlucky in that final third. It's not quite clicked for them, on the back of back-to-back wins, now they find themselves back on bottom. And again, it shows just how strong that league is. And Bus Penn's men, they're going to go strong again. And every week just throws up these intriguing clashes, and it's going to go right to the wire, because these teams are just beating themselves and beating each other, and it's fascinating every week at the moment.
And it is across all three of the National League divisions, because in the National North it's even tighter. I think Brackley are in the playoffs, are on 23 points, and Rushall Olympic, who are technically in the drop zone at the moment, are on 18 points. So 5 points the difference there. But all very tight at the top as well. We saw last weekend South Shields beating Tamworth 1-0 to put them level on points in second, but with a game in hand. And then this weekend, we got Tamworth hosting Banbury United. South Shields are away at Southport. Never easy games. They're not really either of those opposition sort of troubling the scorers, shall we say, at the moment in the playoffs. But as I said, it's so tight. I think they're both on 22 points. So, they get a victory against those pace setters and suddenly they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, the National League North was so, so tight last year, wasn't it? Towards the end of the... on the final day, there was as many as 10 teams that could have found their way into that final playoff place. It's exactly the same this year, isn't it? It's started in exactly the same vein. It really is nothing between these teams. And, I think you just have to look at Tamworth and the season they've had. The first season back in step two, they've been absolutely tremendous. And, every week you think, they might struggle against them, or, tough run coming up here, but they just seem to clear all of these hurdles week by week at the moment, and they're sitting pretty on top, and it's great to see, because they're a lovely little club down at Tamworth. They haven't had the best of times over the last few years, but it looks like they're ready for another promotion chase, and of course South Shields as well. Finally got to step two after a few frustrating years in step three. COVID didn't help them very much, is it? But that's a big club at that level, big fan base. They've got a real chance of making step one. It wasn't so long ago that they were playing in the Northern League at step five. That's an incredible rise, incredible progress. And the North is probably the most intriguing league of the lot this year, as I said, just as we say, because it's so close, and anything can happen.
Don't go writing off the National South, though. Yeovil Town, they won in that big... Talk about big clubs. Torquay United, Yeovil Town midweek, and Yeovil ran out winners, which puts them, top game in hand, 3 points clear. But then this weekend, big game, another big game, I'm sure all at non-league paper towers will be keeping an eye on. Aveley going to third place, Bath City.
Yeah, Yeovil, that result at Torquay was massive, wasn't it? I think they're playing with the trophy again next week as well. Those two rivals in the southwest are going to get to know each other pretty well over the next few weeks. But Yeovil are absolutely flying under Mark Cooper. I think if they win tomorrow, then I think they set a new club record of 9 successive wins. And if they can get that on their back, then I think that that really, really puts them in a strong position. I've heard a number of clubs who have played Yeovil recently who have stated that they've just played the champions. They're really playing like champions at the moment. I know it's very early days, but they're looking pretty imperious. But the chase behind them is building up, and you're right to say that Bath Aveley is it's going to be a cracker of a game this weekend. I mean, I must admit, if you'd have asked me at the beginning of the season if I thought Bath versus Averley was going to be as big a game as it is this week, I put it here. But you know, Bath have had a tremendous season. As I said, they've had a couple of years in the doldrums, haven't they? But that they've really hit the ground running this year. And Averley, wow! I mean, what can we say about them? they just keep doing it, don't they? They managed to get up to step two for the first time in their history, and you know, everyone wrote them off. But they just keep coming, they just keep winning, they just keep picking up points, and you know, in the chase for Yeovil, then they're the team to beat at the moment, and Bath against Averley is set to be a cracker. The team I used to cover for, but they're having a few issues away from home at late, but home they're imperious. I think they've got Yeovil this weekend, so that's a big game for them. They're going to want to turn it on, and they're going to want to sort that away form out, because if they can on their day, they can be they can beat anyone as well. So it's fascinating in the south. Don't write off Torquay yet. I think there's more to come from them, and there's some big guns that haven't quite hit the ground running as yet, but second half of the season, I think will be interesting, because there's going to be certain clubs who will pick up the pace a little bit, and it should just set us up for a grand finale.
Yeah, and that's across the pyramid as well, because we should really mention the next level down, step three. We should mention and congratulate Swindon Supermarine in the Southern League Premier South, who secured their first league win of the season midweek, the last club at step three to achieve that. They got it against early pace setters Chesham United as well. Stuart Fleetwood era, I think, is effectively underway. I think we mentioned that he'll have an impact on that club, and he already has.
Yeah, big win that, wasn't it? I didn't see that coming, because Chesham have been going really, really well. Unfortunately, they just come up a little bit short against Maidstone in the FA Cup last week. But by all accounts, they played very well, even though they went down 2-0. So, but maybe it's a little bit of an FA Cup hangover for them, but well done to Swindon Supermarine. They've been punching above their weight at step 3-4 for a long time. They've been banging on the door of the playoff places as well, and you know, hasn't really gone their way this year. But Stuart Fleetwood, he knows how to dig deep and grind out results. He's as a player, he was he was a real battling centre forward, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Stuart Fleetwood had scored bags of goals, so he's got the experience to turn things around there. And it's a real big result for them, and hopefully that could be a platform for them to kick on.
And there wasn't too much movement on the managerial merry-go-round this week, to be honest. Lower down, a classic example of sliding tiles. We ahead of their FA Vars tie with Grimscombe and Thrupp, the vacancy at Western League as Barnstaple Town has been filled by Jack Furzer and Ben Watson, formerly a Crediton Town, and the South West Peninsula League has replaced them with appointments of Dan Weston and Paul Furzer. The other big change was somewhat strange. Midland League as Atherstone Town that's seen Jimmy Gray his resignation after, I think, just three games in charge of winning two defeats. He was previously at Colville Town, Shepshed Dynamo. I think we spoke to him at Heather St John's as well. His quick departure suggests that there's maybe deeper problems for the club, but we're now looking, I think, for the fourth manager of the season there. Sometimes we've spoken about the big stories in recent weeks and months, but sometimes we don't see that bigger picture that going on at the club. And to be fair to a club and every other club, when issues arise off the field, they can't always be foreseen. You can't always know that they're coming. You can't even action them quickly, particularly when there's just a handful of people trying to deal with just the day-to-day running of the club, let alone all these issues that are coming up. And I think it's just another example that, as a fan, we don't always fully understand what it is to run a non-league football club.
No, that's right. I mean, the fans just see what the team produces on a Saturday Saturday or a Tuesday night, and you know, it doesn't matter whether you're step one or step six, step seven. There's a lot to it to be a football manager. Your phone is literally non-stop, and the problems that go with that player availability is very frustrating. You might have a certain style that you're trying to implement, but the team that the team you've inherited might not be able to do that. There's a couple of instances like that at the moment, but it's not just on the field. It's off it as well. There's player management. You know, you're dealing with 20 or so guys from the age of 20 to 30, and with that becomes a lot of there's a lot of problems. And you know, you're not just a football manager; you're a father figure as well to some of these guys. And yeah, it's tough work. It takes a lot of your time. You know, these managers all work as well. They're not full time. They're not professional. It's tough. And then you know, some of the travelling as well. That's time consuming. It's a big job. After three games, poor old Jimmy must have thought that that maybe he'd bitten off a bit more than he could chew. I don't quite know what the reason was for him to leave, but you know, there must have been a good reason. Just good job that Atherstone Town is a big club at that level. He would have fancied that for some reason or another. He's not been able to do that, but I'm sure the next person coming will. I will fancy that challenge. And,
well, exactly. Whatever the challenge is, we always know that there's someone else stacking up, don't we? There's always a queue of people. I'm yet to find a vacancy at any football club, whatever state they're in, that hasn't had people queuing up at the door and waiting to fill that spot. Talking of running the club, I don't know whether you've seen this. It's fairly obscure. On Twitter this week, I think probably... only Wednesday evening that they, or X as it's now called, isn't it? FC Halifax Town had a supporters Q&A, and thanks to Tom Scargill of the Halifax Courier, I think he's at HX Courier Tom, we sort of learnt a bit of some of the answers that were given there. I mean, it's real great insight into the running of a club, really. We all know from previous interviews with Chris Millington and that the club survives on a shoestring compared to others in the division there. But Chairman David Bosanworth put some meat on those very skinny bones with some honest answers that Tom then kindly sort of retweeted out for us. Suggestions that the club has £150,000 per month running costs, but he also mentioned that it's just £13,000 net profits on home games on average, which really does spotlight why clubs need to be more than just, well, a set of turnstiles, more than just a match day operation, doesn't it? It just sort of shows the money going out just to keep your head above water and the money come in. I think many more clubs above and even below Halifax have probably got figures and disparities far higher than those costs that eat away at the revenue and the costs, you know, like turning the floodlights on, putting the heating on as we're getting into that part of the season now. They're the costs that are going up and up and up in the current economic climate as well.
Yeah, and again, that's something that the fans don't always see. As you said, like little things like electric bill or whatever, you know, obviously, yes, we're all dealing with that at home, but it's very easy to forget that, you know, the cost of putting the lights on when the team are training, for example, and, you know, little hot water and stuff like that, you know, the cost of putting on a game of football, as you know, probably...
Putting on a game of football that gets called off very late.
Well, that's it, yeah. And in circumstances like that, that can't be very easy when you know, you've been through all that rigmarole and you got all your volunteers in place and then right at the last minute that happens. That can't be easy. But I mean, yes, that's fascinating to see. Really, I didn't know about the FC Halifax fans forum this week. I must admit, I I hadn't seen that, but
I think another check on that as well. I think another interesting thing from it is you and I have both had the privilege of interviewing Chris Millington, again one of the nicest men in football, and always very honest. And in the same Q&A, he was highlighting just how well the club do have to use limited resources. You know, I think he mentioned to us how they try and recruit local lads so that they can minimise the cost for travelling and they can put them up in local digs and all that sort of thing. Yeah, and this week you confirmed that they've got 5 volunteer scouts who each watch at least 2 matches a week so they can help the club unearth the next talent that could either save them money on recruitment or earn them money on transfers. And as I said, there's probably clubs below them that have got a far bigger resource, and it just shows how certain clubs are able to cut their cloth and still get success.
But, volunteer scouts is something I have heard of before, actually. But that's fascinating, isn't it? So they're watching, say, for example, 10 games of local football a week. That's obviously the how they feel that they can beat these beat the clubs with the bigger budgets in the league. And if you can just find one gem out of one of those 10 matches a week, then it makes it all work well. And it's that side of the game that sort of fascinates me, really. You know, I read a few stories recently about little gems. We did a piece about one playing at Step 8 at the moment. He's scored a ridiculous amount of goals, and you know, bigger clubs are going to look at him. But you know. But who's to say if you can score goals at Step 8, whether you can make the step up on the pun to Step 2 or 3 or whatever, and hold your own there. And the only way you can find out is by giving them a trial, and that's it. Yeah, give them a run, and obviously the clubs with the smaller budgets have to do it that way. That's the only way they're not going to go and buy a big name striker that's gonna score him 20 goals to keep him in the league or get him up into the playoffs. The only way they can do it is by starting afresh and picking these little gems up. And every now and again, if you can find the next Jamie Vardy, then then you've done yourself proud.
Indeed. So certainly well worth checking out. Halifax Courier. I'm not sure if Tom's done a full piece yet. I'm sure I probably will over the weekend or for the weekend. But follow him on Twitter or X, the platform, HHX Courier Tom. So, well done to Tom on that. It was a great insight into the way non-league football clubs have to run. Plenty of FA VARs and league action this weekend to be reported. John, you mentioned a couple of other bits that we'll expect to see. Anything else you want to flag up for this week's non-league paper?
We're pretty tight. There's a lot of football going on, so news-wise, we're trying to cram as much in as we possibly can. Obviously, we've got a lot of talk on the FA Cup. I had a nice chat with Jack Barham at Aldershot this week, and after his hat trick at Swindon, we've got stuff from Horsham. We've got stuff from Quay Valley as well. Scott Davis as well from a start of the weekend.
He can score a free kick, can't he?
Rolling back the years, yeah, that's tremendous. This young Scott Davis, never seen him before, though. I mean, he rolled back the years, nearly 35 years old. What a goal that was! That's probably one of the goals of the FA Cup. So yeah, we'll be speaking to him and lots else really. We've got plenty, as I say, we've got to cram it all in. We've got a little piece on them. On Bradford Park Avenue, they've been struggling a little bit of late, and I think Mark Bauer's gone there after 4 years. Yeah, so there's obviously changing of the guard there, and that's a club that were playing Step 2 not too long ago, and now sadly flirting on the relegation at Step 3. So you know, hopefully they can get their house in order again soon. So, not a big famous club, but now we've got to. Yeah, plenty going on and plenty to read. So, yeah, please pick it up. It'll be should be a fascinating weekend.
I look forward to some tea and toast on a Sunday morning with a probably the heating on as well, but a copy of the non-league paper to read. John Couch, thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you.
And that then is it all for this week. Thank you, as ever, to all of my guests. Good luck to all of those involved in the FA Vars this weekend. A big thank you once again for everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can share with your friends and tell everybody all about us. Get involved on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on app. Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.